Well, I was going to tell you about the shortest man in the Bible this morning. That's obviously Nehemiah. But my family kind of, censored my own attempt at a joke there, so I won't go with that. Not that it was rude, just they didn't think it was very funny. So I only have a simple offering this morning, and that's, what do you call an alligator in a vest? Obviously, you call him an investigator. Quite simple. You can have a chuckle. Oh no, I can hear your cries. Well, last week, moving right along, we looked at, what do you do when your walls come crashing in? And remember, at the moment, we're just doing a series through Nehemiah. So just encourage you, that's a great time. Just take some time just to get into the Word, to read the Word, read a few chapters of Nehemiah or even the 13 chapters. It probably won't take long, but just allow God's Word to soak and allow God to speak fresh things to you. I know lots of people like the book of Nehemiah and have read it before, but dare to read it again with fresh expectation that God will speak to you. I wonder, in your life, have you ever experienced a time in your life where a situation was not as it should be? Where you received some news that devastated you, or you found it, very challenging, and at that time you had to work out what you were going to do with the news that you received. I remember back to New Year's Eve last year, and or this year, when my parents got news that there was fires down the south coast, and my parents' house was in the midst of that, and my parents had been evacuated, and we were trying to get information, and we were looking at the fire app, and it looked like on the fire app that my parents' house was gone. It looked like that. Well, at first it looked like it was safe, and then a little bit later it looked like the shaded area had covered over the street where my parents were, and it looked like their house was gone. A couple of days after that, once we thought it was almost safe to go down there, my brother and I, with permission of Marguerite and others, we decided, let's try and get down there and see where my parents' house is up to. Let's try and make a visit to my parents. And we drove all the way down the south coast. We got as far as Nowra, and then they shut the highway. And so we thought that it would reopen. It was open earlier in the day, and we waited in the Bunnings car park. It was a stinking hot day. I don't know how many times we walked through that Bunnings store just to get respite from their air conditioning and to beat the boredom of sitting in a car in a Bunnings car park. For about 5 hours, we sat there. Finally, at the end of the day, we drove to the police station and said, hey, look, what's the go? Is the road going to be open tonight or not? And they said, no, it's not. So we turned around and we drove back to Sydney. The next morning, we figured the road would probably be shut for a few days, but we checked it out again and it was open. So we thought, well, we won't. We decided, let's do it. Let's make another attempt. And so we drove down again, and this time we got through. We were able to see our parents' house, and what we thought was burnt. I remember driving down the street, looking at all the houses as we drove down, and they were burnt to the ground. I think surely our parents' house is gone. And we drove down the street, and there it was, still standing. Houses, a couple of houses down, just burnt to the ground, but our parents' house was still burnt, was still standing. It was burnt all the way around it, but it was still standing. And then we were able to see our parents, and we were able to work out what we needed to do, and then we were able to make our way back to Sydney after a successful visit, and then inform the rest of our family where things are up to, and then make some decisions from there. And as I thought about that situation, it reminds me of the situation that Nehemiah found himself in with the Israelites and them coming out of exile after being in Babylonian exile. And they were coming back to Jerusalem to find the walls of their city and the gates to their city just in ruins, just knocked down. And it just would have been devastating to come back and to see that scene and then to work out, what do we do? This is not what we were expecting to come and find after we came out of exile. And so this week, I want to go on and have a bit more of a look at that. I want to pick up the story this week in chapter 2 and verses 11 to 15, after Nehemiah arrives back in Jerusalem. And I'll read those few verses, Nehemiah 2, 11 to 15. So I arrived in Jerusalem. 3 days later, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except the donkey I was riding. After dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's wall, and over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. And then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but my donkey couldn't get through the rubble. So though it was still dark, I went up to the Kidron Valley instead, inspecting the wall before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. This week's sermon is what do you do when God lays plans on your heart? So I just want you to pause for a minute and just have a think about that question. What do you do when God lays plans on your heart? I wonder if you thought of anything. Did any plans that God laid on your heart come to mind? You see, God had already placed his plans for the restoration of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's heart. In verse 12 we read, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans that God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. So already, way before Nehemiah even got to Jerusalem, God had already put plans in his heart for the restoration of that city. God had already been birthing something in him a long time ago. And my suggestion and probably my encouragement was that even way beyond that, years ago, God had already put plans in Nehemiah's heart for Jerusalem and for that country and for that nation. So what do you do when God puts plans in your heart? The first thing I want to suggest you do is you start moving in the direction of your heart and the plans that God's put there. You start moving in the direction of your heart and the plans that God has put there. If you look back at Nehemiah chapter 1, it was clear that God had put plans in Nehemiah's heart long before he arrives in Jerusalem. From that moment, he heard the news about the state of Jerusalem, and probably even before then, God had already put those plans in his heart. I reckon that God puts plans in our heart, and yet often we spend too much time wondering about, is this God or is this just me? And yet the plans of God are just sitting there. We keep trying to discern the origin of the plans rather than actually explore the plan. Like we want a lightning bolt or something to God to say, this is from me. And the plan just still sits there dormant for so long. If we're walking in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, then he's going to want to share his heart and plans with us regularly. And the Bible says that we were wonderfully and complexly made. It says that we were planned for good works that God had planned in advance for us to do, which means God's already put plans in our hearts for us to discover and then live out of. He wants us to go in the direction of these and to pursue them. Think about the wisdom of Solomon that spoke in Proverbs about some plans. And in chapter 16, he says, verse 1, we can make our plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. So even if we make plans and they're not right, God still gives us the right answer. Or in verse 3, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We can't go wrong. Commit those. Let's just step out in faith and start to follow them and they will succeed. Or verse 9 of chapter 16, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. In other words, what Solomon is saying is make a plan and start to go after it because God will work out where we need to go within that plan. We need to trust our heart and what we sense God is saying to us. And if it's not contrary to Scripture, we really can't lose out. Often it's fear that stops us stepping into the plans that God has for us, or we're too worried about what other people think. But as we start moving in the direction of God's plans, he gives us the right answers. He determines the next steps and he'll bring about the success. Imagine the analogy of going to either buy a house or rent a house. You know, you look at it, you see it, but you actually then need to start to take steps to make an inspection or go and see the house and look through the rooms and see if it is as the pictures or the description reads. Or then if you're going to buy a house, you go get things like a building inspection or a pest inspection or whatever other inspections you get to see if then that matches up with also what you think about the house. And you start to move in the direction of either buying or renting that house. If you just stand on the street and just look at the house and think that'd be a nice house to rent or that'd be a nice house to buy, nothing will happen. You actually have to move in the direction of purchasing or renting that place and take some steps towards that. And as you do, it becomes clearer to you whether that house is right for you or not, whether that's the house that you're wanting to buy or to rent. In the same way, God is saying to us, hey, I've put plans in your heart and I want you to start to walk towards me in those. I want you to start to open up to me in those. I think too many a good plan of God has not come to fruition because sometimes we try to over-spiritualize it. We pray about it, dare I say, too much. We seek counsel of others instead of actually activating the plan and just stepping into it. We wait for full clarity of all the plan and what it looks like rather than just taking some steps towards it. Now is the time to move in the direction of God's plans. If God's put a plan in your heart, if something's brewing, if something's stirring in your spirit from the Spirit, then just today, even take one step towards that. Now is the time to move in the direction of God's plans. The second thing, I think, when God lays plans on your heart is to use your God-given discretion. Use your God-given discretion. Verses 11 and 12, Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem. Three nights later, he slips out under the cover of darkness, taking only a few others with him to explore the state of Jerusalem's gates and walls. In verse 12, he says, I've not told anyone about the plans God had put on my heart for Jerusalem. Well, obviously he's told a few others because he took a few others with him. But he didn't broadcast it in the Jerusalem Mail and he didn't put it on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. He went to inspect the situation, which is really important, firsthand. He went to see it for himself. He went at night without others knowing and he didn't draw attention to himself, which was really important. He used his discretion. You see, when God puts plans on our heart, it's not time to broadcast that to the world and have everyone else comment or know about it. It's important we understand and explore these plans, first of all, firsthand, that we take the time to pray into them, to seek the Lord on them, to speak to a few others we trust about them, to see it for ourselves rather than relying on hearsay. And we treat the plans of God with the discretion that they deserve. Remember Mary when she got the news that she was going to be the mother of Jesus? It says that she treasured all these things in her heart. She used her discretion. She didn't go broadcasting. It wasn't the time for that. She just treasured the things and she weighed up the things. In Proverbs, Solomon also says in chapter 16 and verse 22, discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. Discretion produces a life-giving fountain. And sometimes our plans don't come to fruition because we get this big idea and we just put it out there straight away. And then all of a sudden we get all these voices speaking to us. Hey, that's stupid. That won't work. That's dumb. How are you going to do that? What are you thinking of? And fear starts to erode in, or the fear of others, what others think. And sooner or later, a good plan just kind of gets pushed down the bottom because we think, oh, stupid. What was I thinking? That's why we use our discretion. That's why we take time to allow God to form that plan, to shape that plan, to instill confidence and courage in that plan for us, so that when we step out and release that plan, we can resist the opposition that comes. We'll talk more about that shortly. But here's an important part. The third thing I think when God lays plans on your heart that we learn from Nehemiah is this, is don't go forward with God's plans alone. Take others with you. And don't go forward with God's plans alone, but take others with you. In verse 12, he says, again, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. Nehemiah didn't explore the ruins alone. He actually asked for help. He sought trusted friends to share his plans with and come with him. In this season, more than any other season, we were not designed to live in isolation. We were not designed to live in isolation now. Are we not designed to live in isolation after COVID-19? How many times did Jesus emphasize in the Gospels the one another, one another, one another, one another? And I want to encourage us this morning, Grace Point, do not underestimate the value of meeting together with others, whether that be prayer circles, life groups, small huddle groups, or you know, small groups together. We created to walk out God's plans together. We need each other. We need people to encourage us. We need people to stand with us. We need people to support us. We need people to bounce off our ideas with. We need people to pray with, to help us clarify and crystallize. One of the reasons I think we're so afraid of walking with others is because when we walk with others, there's also a sense of accountability. When we put things out there, then we actually have to realize some of the things that we've put out there. And when we share that with others, we're kind of then, a sense, accountable with others. Some of us prefer to live alone so we don't have accountability. That's a really dangerous place to live. It's also a very lonely place to live. I really want to encourage us in this season to join with others. And we can still do that, even though we have some limitations of meeting physically. But I really want to encourage you, don't walk out God's plans alone. Life groups are an awesome place to do that. And I really want to encourage us, Grace Point, in this season to come back to a new normal, maybe make a decision, hey, I'm going to join with a few other people in a life group so that I can be known and I can know and I can walk out the plans of God with others in a place of safety and a place of love and support. Next thing I think is really important about when God lays a plan on your heart is pay attention to the timing. Pay attention to the timing. In verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2, it says, "The city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in administration. But now I said to them," notice that, "but now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Again, I want to say to us, timing is everything. Nehemiah only told those closest to him, but at the right time, he told the right people the right plans. At the right time, he told the right people the right plans. Remember, our timing's not always God's timing. We need to discern the right time to reveal the right information and who the right people are to reveal that information about the plans that God's put on our heart to. I don't want to lose this little gold nugget that's in there as well. But notice the timing of sharing a testimony in verse 18. In verse 18, after he said, let's go rebuild the walls, here's my plan. In verse 18, he says, "Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king." He shares his testimony with them. If you have a look at what he does, it's never a bad time to share a testimony. Revelation 19:10 says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So here in verses 16 to 17, Nehemiah launches his plan. Here's what I think. And if you imagine an official or you're a noble or someone like that, and all of a sudden here's this plan that comes out at you, you'd be going, wow, that's how are we ever going to do that? Rebuild the walls and do the gates? Like that's almost maybe crazy, whatever. And so just before they have time to think, go to that place, Nehemiah goes, hey, hang on a minute. Here's the favor of God on me. Let me share a testimony with you. And he shares about his own experience. And then post that in verse 19 on, they go, yep, I'm done. Let's do this. We can do it. What Nehemiah does when he drops that testimony in is he upgrades everyone's faith in the room to see the expectation that God can do this, because if he's done it for Nehemiah, he can do it for us. That's why we share testimonies. That's why they're so important, because if God can do it for one, he can do it for us. As Marguerite said earlier, it creates a new normal. Well, the last thing I want to share with us about what to do when God lays a plan on our heart is this, is don't be surprised or distracted by the opposition that may rise. Don't be surprised at the opposition that might come, and don't be distracted by the opposition that may arise. In verse 19 to 20, and these guys pop up all the way through Nehemiah, "When Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously." "What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" they asked. I replied, "The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding the wall, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem." You know, when we start to move forward in the plans of God, we shouldn't expect opposition, but we'll often get opposition. It's kind of like that thing, like, you know, people kind of almost expect doom and gloom before it happens. Like, oh, if the bigger the thing, the bigger opposition. Well, that's actually a fallacy. It doesn't always work like that. But we should expect that there will be some that will question. There will be some opposition to the plans of God. What we actually need to remember is this, Ephesians 6 verse 12, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but we're involved in a spiritual battle that's going on in the heavenlies. And that's the battle. We also need to remember there's no brave without fear. There's no victory without battle. There's no test without a testimony, and there's no miracle without an impossible circumstance. They're just normal parts of the Christian life that we navigate and should say, oh, There's a test, there's got to be a testimony. There's an impossible situation, there's a miracle somewhere here. Yes, I'm a little bit afraid, but there's no brave without fear. I've been made more than a conqueror. I can overcome this. Hey, there's a battle here, but there's also a victory to be won, and I'm on the winning side. Amen. Chris Valentine, I love this. He says, the dogs of doom always lie waiting at the doors of our destiny. The dogs of doom always lay waiting at the doors of our destiny. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they scoffed with contempt. And take a note of the things that they say, because they're often the things that we hear in this day and age when we share about our plans, the plans or the dreams that God's put in our heart. They're often the things that people say, and they're often the things that knock us down and put God's plans on hold. They say, what are you doing? These are the questions around our identity or the qualification question. Who do you think you are, and what gives you the right to do that? Or they say, should you be doing that? They undermine the question, our authority and our permission question. When God gives us a dream, they say, oh, really? Really? Did you hear from God? Should you be doing that? Who qualified you to do that? Or they question and undermine Nehemiah's identity, his motives and our beliefs. And aren't they the questions that we hear often, or we allow to play in our mind when we are going to step into a dream that God gives us? Should I be doing this? Am I qualified for this? Who told me I could do this? what's my identity here? Can I do it? Can I pull it off? Do I have what it takes? What if I fail? What will people think of me? They're all the questions that Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem contemptuously scoffed at Nehemiah to try and get him to go to that place. But here's what I love about Nehemiah and what he does. Because he'd already formed the plans, because he already fasted and prayed, because he already knew what God had told him, he comes back and he says, no. I replied, he says, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We are his servants. We will stand rebuilding this wall. But you know, you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. He just puts it as it is. He says, I declare where my success comes from. My success comes from God. He says, this is who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm stepping into the plans that God has for me. We will succeed. We will succeed. And he declares the plans of God that were going ahead. He actually says, we're going ahead with this. This is God's plan. And because of that, we'll succeed. And then he also says that one last thing. He says, he assumed his God-given authority and he refuted the opposition's claim. He didn't, dare I say, fall to this kind of thing of tolerance of going, oh, well, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe, yeah, we can all do it together. He said, no, this is God's plans. We will succeed, and you have no right or inheritance to those or no place in affecting these plans. They kept coming back the whole of through Nehemiah. You'll see they keep coming back with opposition and opposition and opposition. And each time Nehemiah keeps coming back and says, no, this is God's stuff. This is God's plans. We will keep moving forward. We will keep going around this. You have no right. And I think that's really important, that we know who we are. We know whose we are. We know what we've been given, and we know what we've been given to do, and we keep moving forward in that with resolute intentionality about that. Well, what does all that mean, I suppose, for us this morning? For some of us, we might feel that God has placed plans on his heart, and I hope that's the same for all of us. I hope that there's something that's been, this morning the Spirit has reminded you of. Yeah, I wonder if that's a plan that God's put on my heart. Well, that's a dream that, yeah, I've had for a while. Or, yeah, I've been thinking about that lately. Or just this week I thought about that. That's not random. That's God's Spirit just prompting and moving and stirring and bringing things to the surface. For some of us, it's time to actually stop procrastinating. It's time to stop over-praying or over-spiritualizing and wondering about whether this is of God or not, and start to take some steps in the direction of that plan towards God's heart for us and move in the direction of God's plans. Don't worry if you don't have all the steps worked out yet. You're not supposed to. That's part of the journey. Just start taking steps in the direction that you think God is leading or showing you, and he will give you the rest of the plans, as it says in Proverbs. For others of us, I think we already know the plans. But the dogs of doom, we've allowed the dogs of doom to be sitting at our doorway for too long, speaking to us words that are affecting our destiny. They've been barking loud, and we've been paying too much attention to them, or listening to the enemy scoffing and attempt and wondering whether we're able or capable or all of the above. And we need to say to those dogs, be quiet, sit, get outside now. Maybe we're wondering whether we're qualified, we're good enough. Do we have authority and permission? Can we do this? What if I fail? It's time to recognise that God's placed plans on your heart. And if he's placed plans on your heart and you're willing to step into those plans, you will succeed. You will succeed. It's time to start moving. It's time to use our discretion. Gather some close friends. Get in a prayer huddle, in a life group. Start to share some of those dreams. It's time to pay attention to the timing and remember the testimonies that we've been given or the testimonies of others that speak into our dreams and help us gain faith to step up and rise into them. And it's time to rise up above the opposing forces and declare our identity and intent to begin to execute these plans that God has entrusted to us to carry out. It's time, Grace Point. There's so many dreams that are in the midst of us. It's time. It's time to release those dreams. It's time to let go and step in and go forward. And actually, that's an exciting place to be, to think of what could be as we allow God's dreams to come to fruition. I want to pray for us this morning just as we do that. I also want to remind you, if you want some prayer today at our service, after our service, our prayer ministry team would love to pray with you. Maybe you want some prayer about dreams or releasing dreams or clarity of your dreams or stepping into your dreams, then call our office number 8338-9999 and press 3 for Ruth, and that message will go to her, and then she will coordinate our prayer ministry team to give you a call and pray with you. Our prayer ministry line is open for half an hour after our call, after we finish our service. So make sure you utilise that, because we have people who would love to pray for you today and release dreams over you or pray for healing or just comfort and pray into whatever situation you're about.